Tuesday, February 11th, 2020. Public hearing, local law, number 1, ground-mounted solar arrays, 6 p.m. Public hearing, local law, number 2, multifamily dwellings, 6:30 p.m. Public hearing, community development block, grant, 6:55. Regular town board meeting, 7 p.m.
Good evening, everyone. We're scheduled to start for 6 p.m. We still have individuals that are signing in the hall, so we'll wait a little bit longer for them to have that opportunity, and we shall start shortly. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the first public hearing of the evening, which is in relation to local law number 1 of 2020, which would be amending Chapter 75 of the Town of Monroe Code for the extended temporary moratorium on permits for the installation of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems within the Town of Monroe. Before we get started, and it'll be your time, I just want to provide a little background on how we got to where we are this evening. Presently, the Town of Monroe, by zoning, only allows commercial solar arrays in our industrial areas. And that would be our industrial park in areas along Route 9 or bordered on Route 9 that are zoned light industrial. Nowhere else in the town are solar arrays permitted. As we worked through our comprehensive master plan, one of the things that came out was that the town wants to do everything it can to protect our agricultural resources. Along those lines, there's also language in the comprehensive plan that the Town of Monroe recognizes that our local farmers are in unique circumstances financially, and what we have heard, and I have heard, board members have heard over the past 6 months, is that we have landowners that very much want to have the opportunity to establish ground-mounted commercial solar arrays on their property. So we instituted and adopted a six-month moratorium approximately 6 months ago. That just expired. And during that process, the town was working to draft a solar regulation ordinance that would provide for limited commercial solar array in throughout town in key locations. That draft is just about complete. Council still has it. I don't believe board members have seen it yet. But in order to continue that process, the board believes it's prudent to extend the moratorium as we work through that process. I have personally met with council, with the New York State Energy Research Development Agency and from Albany. They're very active in helping localities establish local ordinances for the regulation of solar. I have spoken with them as recently as first week in January. I've spoken with their senior project manager as well as an attorney who's on staff with them. I know that the town's attorney has been in communication with them as well. And so the purpose of this public hearing, as I indicated, is so that we can continue that process to come up with a viable local ordinance regarding the regulation of commercial solar arrays. But as part of that process, we need to get that moratorium in place, whereby as part of the process, when the draft law is provided to the public, I expect that town board will want to hold workshops on that before we get to the final stage for a public hearing where everyone will have an opportunity to provide input as to whether they're for it, whether they oppose it, changes they'd like to see in that. But the first order of business is to adopt a moratorium. So as I indicated, this is an official proceeding of the town board during which the public, you folks, are accorded the right to be heard. And it's a public hearing on the establishment of the moratorium. Not necessarily whether you're in favor of solar or opposed to it. It's whether you support establishing the moratorium. So a couple of ground rules by town board resolution. Every individual will have an initial 5 minutes to address the board. It's not a question and answer period. It's an opportunity for you to comment to the board, and it will be recorded by the town clerk or deputy town clerk. And once the 5 minutes have expired and your first opportunity to address the board, we'll continue to go around until everybody has had an opportunity to speak and speak as long as they want. But we want to make sure that no one person monopolizes any part of the public hearing, but you will all have an opportunity to be heard. So with that, I'm going to officially call the public hearing to order. I know that we have a quorum present, and I will ask that the deputy clerk read the notice of the public hearing.
Town of Moreau, notice of public hearing to consider adoption of local law. Notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York that a public hearing will be held by the Town Board of the Town of Moreau on February 11, 2020 at 6 p.m. at the town's municipal complex located at 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York, for the purpose of considering the adoption of Local Law No. 1 of 2020. If adopted, Local Law No. 1 of 2020 would extend the moratorium contained in Chapter 75 of the Moreau Town Code, temporary moratorium on permits for an installation of ground-mounted solar energy system and large-scale solar energy systems within the town of Moreau. This extension continues the moratorium prohibiting the permitting of new ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems for a period of 180 days from filing this law with the Department of State. Written comments of Local Law No. 1 of 2020 can be submitted to the town clerk up and through the time of the public hearing. A copy of proposed Local Law No. 1 of 2020 can be obtained at the Moreau Town Municipal Complex and on the town's website. Leanne McCabe, town clerk, published February 1st, 2020.
Thank you very much, Tammy.
You're welcome.
And again, you'll have 5 minutes to initially address the board. When you approach the podium, please state your name, your address, whether you're a town resident or not. And we will begin. So who would like to address the board first? Mr. Killer.
Yes.
I'm sorry, and I would just like to add, I have received, and I should have pointed out for the record, correspondence that will be added for as they were submitted to either my office or the clerk's office regarding comments on the public hearing. And I can read, I'll just read out the names of individuals who have done that. And if so, I'd ask that rather than read what you've already submitted, just to summarize what you've provided in an effort to keep the public hearing going. So I've received correspondence from the U.S. Light Energy, from Mr. Killian, Chris O'Brien, William Congdon, Ellen Killian O'Brien, Shannon O'Brien, Sean Mary, Joe Sharp, and I believe that's all I have at this point. I'm sorry, you may begin.
Okay, my name is Pat Killian, 169 Burt Road, Canterbury, New York, Town Moreau. I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. And I guess one of the first things I'd like to bring up is Council, Mr. Kuznir, is you also, you had said there's no solar permitted in the town of Roe because it's commercial or industrial. That said, there's special use permits that are allowed for these occasions. You know, different occasions for different farmers, different people, that gives the opportunity to allow them to do special things for what we're trying to do with solar. A couple of facts here. We have, we're losing about 175 acres an hour, 3 acres a minute to subdivisions of contractors for houses. So what we want to do is, or some of the questions that I have to the council, the board, is, you know, what farms are we for in the town? If we're losing, you know, 175 acres an hour, you know, and what we're trying to do is advocate our fourth generation family members, which are my kids, and the 70 years that we, you know, what my father did as far as farming, my brother, my sisters, friends, and what we'd like to do is keep this operation going. And margins are few and far between of, you know, what it takes to run a business now. You know, the I think 3 months ago, milk per hundred was $13.67. The prices were what they were 50 years ago. And if we don't change with the times, we're going to see more and more farmers going out of business. And what we're asking is the dual purpose of what solar is allowing us to be able to do is to keep our farm going and yet make new changes to our farm. Much needed repair. Buildings are falling apart. But based on income, with me and my wife working two, sometimes three jobs to make ends meet, last month, you know, a couple of things that arose in my situation, and I'll keep this really short, but high pressure fuel pump in my truck, $11,200. I had three well pumps go at our farm, $3,000, $2,500, and $2,200. Generator, $2,500. So these are just a few of the things that have arisen, you know, as we try to keep our farm going. And what we want to try to do is have Borlix, our company, our partner, to be able to advocate for solar, to put, you know, some solar in out of the 500 acres there that I have. Not all, but depending on what the town is going to allow us. We have to be careful, too, because based on percentages, you know, we need, you know, so much land to be able to put solar in. So please be considerate as far as what and how we're trying to go about and what's needed to do solar. One of the other things is you know, the time that we've spent in the six-month moratorium, we haven't had much feedback. Some from the public or friends, family. So I'm not really sure. What we don't want to see is the extension of another six-month moratorium. Again, if for some reason that does need to be extended, we would like to be it very short, if at all. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
And who would like to address the
board? Hi, I'm Laura Killian, Pathwife, 169 Burt Road, Hanford. I also disagree with the 180-day extension. I think that 180 days so far, plus I think there was some more days, was plenty of time. The bills are rolling in, and the interest is rolling in, and I think that was plenty of time to get whatever decisions that the town wants. I'm for the town making rules and making, you know, to make it viable for the town, a win-win for the public and for the agricultural, but I think that another 6 months isn't really fair to the landowners, to us working, to ask us to wait another 180 days. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Harvey Stein, Northway Farm, 210 Washburn Road. I support the moratorium because as the we've recently gone through the issue of, for instance, the brewery over on Old West, and time and time again, the Department of Ag and Marketing was always cited. Well, in 1970, 71, I believe, the New York legislature instituted the legislation which allowed for the Department of Ag and Marketing, and it was specifically for the preservation of farmland. It did not talk about the profitability of each farm. I certainly understand the plight of the farmers. There's absolutely no question that especially dairy farmers have been killed over the last probably decade or two. And, of course, we're losing farms. But the moratorium, I believe, is essential to investigate everything that could occur. There's always the unintended consequences. When you permit for one farm, I have 54 acres, I've got a hay field, 20 acres, okay. I've gotten letters that say, oh, you know, you can do solar on your place, we need 20 acres, we'll pay you this much. Well, I don't farm the sun, I farm with horses and provide the hay for them. Do we want our farmers to now become dependent upon the solar and energy industry? Because at some point, if you start having these solar farms, the prices that are going to be given to the farmers for the use of that solar are going to drop. So you have to understand that you give one person that permit, then you give another person that permit, and then another one. Where are you going to draw the line? And at some point, if throughout the state of New York you have solar farms everywhere, then it's not going to be profitable for anybody. So, and much in the same way that the farm breweries. We've got so many farm breweries now, there's going to be so many of them going out of business because of the competition. So those are the things that really have to be measured as to how many permits are going to be allowed, what's the size of the farm, and once you start doing that, you will be losing that farmland. It's gone. When you put up that solar array, it is gone. And at the same time, certainly roof-mounted solar panels, every farm can have them if the structure allows for it. But that, the amount that people spend on electricity should be for themselves. And so if you have solar mounts, roof-mounted solar panels that provide for your own farm, at least there you can save the money that you're paying out to National Grid for your electricity.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Mark Winston on the Old West Road, and I am certainly for the moratorium. I don't think that we should rush into industrializing our farmland. At some point, with global warming, the Northeast is going to be especially important as a producer of food for the rest of the country. As the country dries up and farming becomes more difficult in a lot of areas that are short of water. But I do not think, as Mr. Stein mentioned, this will put land out of farming and be very labor intensive to get back into shape if at all possible with the concrete that they're going to have in that and make those ground mountings. And I certainly think that we need a 6-month moratorium to give this the careful thought that is needed. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I just wanted to make this note before maybe all.
I'll ask that the deputy clerk include your comments in the record.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Fourth row back.
Jim Hooper from 46 Reynolds Road, Haven Oaks Farm. And I support Pat's ideas. And I think even one step further, what I recommend, I was gone for the last meeting, I was out of town, but I read the minutes. and they've said that the board thinks it would be too cumbersome to evaluate agricultural properties on an individual basis. I think that that should be revisited. I don't think if you look at the ag district and the amount of properties that are in the ag district and the amount of potential people that would come before you for this type of a project, a solar arrays, I don't think it would be that many. It might be the first year, but after that, I think you could handle it on an individual basis. We all talk about how important our agricultural land is. If it's important, then take those big parcels and look at it and see if the solar array makes sense on the backside of the hill. And as far as, you know, having too many of them, I totally disagree. We can't have too many solar farms. That's not going to drop the price to the point where they're not going to be viable. I disagree with that. But the other concern I have is with the T-Bird Golf Course. I've talked to a few board members about that. And I'm being told that the board, the town, has already decided that that's going to be okay. That 200 acres in our town, I think, is very special. It's special to me because it's across the street, but it's a beautiful piece of property. The real estate agent told me it's under contract from a solar company, and the town of Monroe has already given it their blessing. So no one up here admits that they've talked to anybody about it. Nobody will tell me who the solar company is, but I think that's a really, really big concern in our community. If there's already plans to make solar and the T-Bird Golf Course on that 200 acres, then I think it should be above board. Who's, you know, and if not, why did this solar company put that property under contract? Why isn't it on the market to be sold? Last question. Why don't you make that property agricultural? You talk about wanting agricultural. We don't create any. Create some. If the bank took it over 6 years ago, the bank took that property over. It used to be ag property. It used to be part of my farm. Why doesn't the town go back, take that 200 acres and make it agricultural?
Thank you. And just a reminder for those individuals coming before or after Mr. Hooper, this is a public hearing on the moratorium, not on the merits of solar. So I know there was a...
Eleanor Stein, I live at 210 Washburn Road, and we have a farm, and they wrote us letters and said, you know, can we have 25-year acres to have a solar farm? We said, no, we're growing hay. We don't want to have solar here. And we also don't feel that it can be established as completely safe if it's right near your house. I think we should have a moratorium, and if and when you do decide on the criteria for putting in solar, please address the issue of where the solar is going to go. If it's on the back side of the mountain and it's not facing homes, okay, maybe that's fine. Put that in as an established criteria for putting it in. If it's going behind five people's homes on a piece of property that also is in a family area with little children and it cannot be hidden by anything, then look at that and deny that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Mike Fingard from U.S. Light Energy. I just want to say that I support the need for a solar law. I think it's absolutely necessary to have a solar law in place to make sure that solar can be deployed in your town effectively and in tune with your master plan. With that said, if you find the need to extend the moratorium, I do hope that you do it as expeditiously as possible without the risk of not being thorough. It's challenging enough to find an ideal site that can host a solar array. There are a lot of factors that go into it, not only a suitable piece of property, but a valuable electrical infrastructure. And on that note, not to go too far into solar, I do want to just reiterate that there is a technical limit to how much solar can actually be installed in this town and hosted by the available electrical infrastructure. So I just want that to be clear in your considerations of how much land is made available to solar. Just because the land is made available for the use of solar does not mean it can be physically installed there.
Thank you. And for clarification, I would just add, so the proposed moratorium is for up to 6 months. Should the town board develop a viable local law be put before the public and it's adopted, it can happen any time between tomorrow and that six-month period. Just wanted to make sure the public was aware of that. Who else would like to address the board this evening? Mr. Zook.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today. And I know it's an emotional subject for a lot of us because, as Pat pointed out, you know, we're looking, facing the future with children coming and, you know, a land resource that we love and that we're very dear to. And, you know, we're just trying to find every way possible to derive income to pay the bills. And I'll say I've done business with Pat's father, and when, you know, Danny and his dad were there, and it was a vibrant place with a lot of activity, and it was a joy to go there. And, you know, now, you know, the cows are gone, and you suffer that, you know, the infrastructure falling apart. It's just, I know what you're saying, and it's just very hard, and I absolutely understand where Pat's coming from, and ourselves as well, because, as you know, we've been before the board on different occasions looking at our operation to diversify it. And, you know, so far we've been at least successful in diversifying and ag-related endeavors, whether it's Sicilian processing at home or the brewery here, which we hope succeeds. I mean, that's our goal. But as we, you know, continue forward, us as landowners, and, you know, by the way, landowner, not resident, I think we're 220 Old West. We're never 100%, our vision is never 100% going forward. We don't know in 20 years if grain farming is going to work. We don't know if it's going to be hemp. We don't know if it's marijuana. We don't know if it's Jerusalem artichokes. We don't have a clue. We guess, and we hope the light. So in the last 5 years, we've been presented with these opportunities, and some of us have taken those opportunities. And like this fellow said here, not every property is perfectly suited to solar. You have to have line capacity. You have to have, you know, the correct soil type. There's a lot, you know, a few things that go into it. So 6 months ago, when you decided to do the moratorium, and I had recommended that you could probably do it in two, there's available rules and laws out there, and you have a neighboring town next door, Northumberland. I've read their rules, and I think they're pretty reasonable. Maybe not perfect for everybody, but I think they're reasonable. And I'm not saying you should adopt them, but I hope you've looked at them, because for me, to me, they're manageable for operations like mine or Pat Killian's or some of the other people that want to perhaps participate in you know, having some kind of, in our situation, we call it passive income, so it would be either looking forward to retirement, so that the land lease would be available for our retirement, perhaps, or for you know, for the kids to carry on the operation. So that's, you know, typically that's how most farmers look at that. I disagree with Mr. Weinstein here. Recently, the state's either about to pass or has passed a carbon credit tax or carbon tax. In my understanding, from my context in the solar industry, that's just going to drive this even harder. And look, I get it.
Sir, please.
Next door, one of my farms in Easton, there's 300 acres of panels, and that's painful. I mean, seeing them all in one spot is a painful thing. I don't necessarily agree with that approach to solar. But, you know, if a farm is 200 acres, and what's the difference? I mean, if it's 20%, that's 40. It's not bad. So, you know, I understand everybody's complaint, but at the same time, you have competing interests. And I'm not convinced that I know or Pat knows in
in 20 years what's going to happen. And the last thing I want farmland to be is houses. Because there's absolutely no coming back from houses. And I mean, I did a dissertation on this at Cornell when I was there some 35.
Sir, are you going to be able to wrap up?
There's nobody else, but yeah. So please.
You have 5 minutes. You've exceeded 5 minutes. If you're going to wrap up in one, we will do that. If not, I'll have you come back for another 5 minutes.
When you track it, farmland never goes back from houses. With solar, there's an opportunity. If there is a need, there's a need to move back into food production, you can yank the panels out. It's not a big deal. It comes out very easy, and the land has not suffered. In fact, the land has probably improved because it's had a rest. Thank you.
Thank you. In the back row.
Mike Smith, 1695 West River Road. I spent a lot of time in the Air Force working huge energy projects. And one thing I found is they're hard to get a return on investment. So in this case, it looks like there's a chance that someone's willing to invest in a large solar project. So I would say, my suggestion would be to lift the moratorium and use this as an example to build a law as a test case and move forward with that. So.
Thank you.
Cindy Kennedy, 270 Old West Road. I would like you to take your time on this moratorium and consider the people that are going to be around these solar panels and what it's going to do to the value of their property.
Thank you.
Good evening. Dave Byrne, 10 Doe Run, here in the town of Moreau. I'm in the solar industry, and regarding the moratorium, I do believe that it's wise for the town board to take this additional time, but my personal opinion is that it's not the role of government to tell farmers what to do with their property to the extent that it does not affect other people's property. And this was expressed earlier tonight. I do believe there's ways to enforce the solar to be done correctly so that it doesn't adversely impact other properties. And if you've spoken with NYSERDA, Mr. Supervisor, you know that screening is important. There is a decommissioning plan option, which also ensures that the land will be restored back to its original condition. And also, during this moratorium, I'd urge the town board to really understand the construction process for light utility and large commercial solar projects. There's not concrete being put in the ground. There would be equipment pads built with concrete, but aside from that, it's steel going into the ground, which can be quite easily extracted per the decommissioning plan. Thank you.
Anyone else like to comment on the moratorium for the ground-mounted solar, commercial solar projects? In the back row. Mr. Swart.
Thank you very much. Darren Suarez, 39 Hudson Falls with Orlex. Not a resident, I work here in the town. Orlex has been here for the last 15 years. We're committed to the town as a whole and see this really as an opportunity to both to be here in Moreau and see it as a real opportunity to center and locate our development for solar out of the town of Moreau. So we appreciate very much that the town is taking time, or is taking time, to consider the impacts of solar and what should the town code look like. And we appreciate the opportunity to actually engage with the town, have discussions about what actually solar facilities will look like and what we're particularly interested in. So we, as a member of the town, we've always been interested in being a good neighbor, to be part of and engaged in listening to that process. And we see that as a fundamental rule of who we are, is to engage by listening and the entire time. So we've heard certainly a few things that people are concerned about in general, and we'll take those into consideration in anything that we're doing. But one of the things we see this really as an opportunity for both the folks that live here in the town
and particularly, obviously, those that are the landowners, but those in general around it. Because it will provide an opportunity for us to provide additional revenue to the town in the form of and tax, basically. But additionally, it is, and it should be certainly well noted, that farmland is, it will basically be preserved during that period of time. It is a temporary use of that land. We take all of our materials out at the end of that leasing agreement, and so there will not be basically materials left back at their location. It's important to understand that. We're also working and developing solutions so that way we can actually continue to have farm operations in our facility. So because of the way that we'll be putting in and designing the sites, will allow for continued farming of the operation in the middle of the arrays. This will, again, to allow for continued agricultural operation, which is truly important to both the town of Monroe and the community and to the Killians themselves. So the town will basically, the project itself will also be looking to develop it and won't be viewed by the public as a whole. So a very, very limited amount actually will be seen from the road. And will be shielded. So those that are worried about losing an aesthetic aspect, there are ways to address those things. So many things that certainly will be considered in the development of code. We appreciate that the town would consider all those things. We do would like, obviously, to see an advancement. We would like to see things to go quicker than 6 months. You can hear the real world impacts for the landowners in terms of their desire, their interest in seeing this project go forward. But it does have it has a toll, and the delay does have a toll. So we ask that the town board consider moving this process forward quickly, and we appreciate the opportunity to continue to be in contact and discussion. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Yes, sir. Hi, my name is Greg McCarthy. I live at 201 Reservoir Road, and I'm a resident. I am not in favor of this moratorium. I was when I came in, but after sitting here and listening to the conversations that have been being had, I've changed my mind. The biggest thing that's changed my mind is the fact that while the town is obviously looking to update the code and include specifications and regulations for solar, there are other areas that the town is also reconsidering similar types of things like, non-conforming property usage and, sections of the code that are being revamped, but there are no moratoriums on those, for example, building a non-conforming building there are too many areas where the town is reconsidering code changes and they're not also putting a moratorium on what those include. So I don't understand why, if it's not included now, why you would want to stop it while you wait and come up with these. If you're researching other code changes, just include it with those and allow people to continue with their solar panels for now until that code is until that code has been defined.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else like this? Mr. Zimmerman.
Hello, good evening. My name is Will Zimmerman. I live at 327 Gantry Road. And I just want to say that I am in support of this moratorium because I believe that it's important for the town to take their time with this matter and make sure that they don't make any decisions that they regret in the long run. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to? Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Chris Barton. Own property at 148 Washburn Road. This family has been in my continual ownership of my family for the better part of 170 years in the agricultural district there. While not opposed to the extension of the moratorium, I am opposed to the indefinite extension of that. I think people like the Killians and other people here deserve an answer and deserve a timely answer to be able to negotiate a path forward with what they'd like to do. I know the sentiment's been expressed before that there'll never be any more farmland. And I think that's a noble sentiment, and I agree with it. That said, it butts up against the reality that everything's more expensive now than it's ever been. I go out and try to buy a new tractor today and see what it costs. Insurance. Try to find labor for your farm. that's a tough gig. Commodity prices, in many cases, are at all-time lows. So I think that the town needs to consider all those factors, and I don't think there should be a blanket, acceptance of anything goes in the ag district. I do think an outright ban on that would be a mistake as well. I think something that's more agro-voltaic, I believe is the term, that can accomplish, both means to preserve the spirit of our ag land, yet accommodate solar where it makes sense, should be something that's strongly considered. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard? I'll ask one more time. Does anybody else wish to be heard for public hearing before we close on the moratorium for ground-mounted commercial solar arrays? If not, without objection from the board, I will close the public hearing. Hearing's closed. Thank you, everyone, for attending.
You want this pause?
Just for a second. Okay, we are going to shortly open up the public hearing on local law number 2. And again, if anybody is joining us late, we did have a moratorium in place regarding building permits or site plan review or other review of multifamily and two-family dwelling residential projects within the town of Monroe. And we have a quorum present for this public hearing, and I'll ask the clerk to read into the record the notice of the public hearing.
Town of Monroe, notice of public hearing to consider adoption of local law. Notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York that a public hearing will be held by the Town Board of the Town of Monroe on February 11, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex located at 351 Reynolds Road, Monroe, New York, for the purpose of considering the adoption of Local Law No. 2 of 2020. If adopted, Local Law No. 2 of 2020 would extend the moratorium created in Chapter 76 of the Monroe Town Code, temporary moratorium on building permits or site plan review or other review of multifamily and two-family dwelling residential projects within the town of Monroe. The extension continues the moratorium prohibiting the consideration of applications for building permits, site plan approvals, special use permits, or subdivision approval, or any other municipal approval for multifamily dwelling projects, multiple family dwelling projects, or two-family dwelling projects within the town of Monroe for a period of 180 days from filing of this law with the Department of State. This extension shall not apply to any certificates of occupancy for any and all construction pursuant to building permits issued prior to the date of the adoption or the notice of public hearing, or the issuance of any building permit for the renovation or repair of any lawful existing structure otherwise covered by this local law. In addition, this extension shall not apply to any projects that have already obtained municipal approvals or are before the Planning or Zoning Board of Appeals or the Building Department requesting approval for the Town of Monroe as of the date of the notice of public hearing, notwithstanding that a certificate of occupancy and or building permit has not been issued. Written comments on Local Law No. 2 of 2020 can be submitted to the town clerk up and through the time of public hearing. A copy of proposed Local Law No. 2 of 2020 can be obtained at the Monroe Town Municipal Complex and on the town's website. Leanne M. McCabe, Town Clerk, published February 1st, 2020.
Thank you very much. And before I open up for public comment, I have received correspondence, which I will submit to the Town Clerk to be officially included as a matter of record within the public hearing. The first correspondence, and I apologize if I'm reading this incorrectly, W. Fridge. from 15 Snowberry Lane in favor of extending moratorium. Next correspondence that I have is from Robert Gates, opposed to any more apartment complexes in the town. And I've also received correspondence from Mr. Duvall. Asking the town board members to stop multifamily dwelling and encourage construction of single-family homes. I'll ask that his correspondence in its entirety also be included. So at this time, same rules apply as the previous public hearing. If you were not here for that, I'll recap. Each member of the public will have 5 minutes to address the board initially. Again, the subject is the moratorium on multifamily dwellings in the town of Moreau for an additional 180 days. If you would, please state your name and address for the record, whether you're a town resident. And once everyone has had an opportunity to speak for an initial 5 minutes, we'll come back around and we'll continue the public hearing until everyone has had an opportunity to speak. So would anyone like to address the board? Yes, sir.
I'm Mike Smith, 1695 West River Road, resident. I just moved back after like 30-some-odd years out of town, and I came from Colorado Springs, which is a quaint town at first, and then the urban sprawl just kept going and going. And with the, it's amazing when I came back here, the traffic is much heavier than I thought it would, I remember it being. And as you build those, if you're going to build additional multifamily homes, I'm not totally against it, but I think the moratorium should be in place. But as you build them, take a really strong community plan and charge the developers enough to build the roads that we're going to need. And you're going to have to talk to people on Dancer Road and 32, because someday those roads are just going to have to expand. And houses are really close to the roads. But as you keep building and building these multi-family homes, it's just going to increase the flow of traffic and everything else. And it's not going to be the quaint town that it is now. But down the road, a community plan and some type of fee for those developers to build those roads, that's what my suggestion is.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address? Yes, sir.
Sam Walters, 2110 Road Drive. It's interesting that now, being retired, I realize there's a traffic problem. I was very fortunate to be able to drive from my home to my place of employment. There was no problem whatsoever. Now that I'm leaving in the mornings about 7:15, 7:30, and driving down to exit 17, I am appalled at the amount of traffic that I go through to get down to exit 17. Now, I'm doing this for recreation, but then I look around in the evenings, and I look at the backups on the Northway. Has consideration been given to the infrastructure of the highways, as this gentleman did say, the movement of people back and forth, the schools, how is financing of the schools going to be taken care of? And I look back many years ago when the development across the street from where I live on Tanglewood was discussed in the planning board. And the planner of that development said, I will give you the land down by the river. And the planning board said, we don't need that because we have a town park. That was very short-sighted. I hope this board is a little more foresighted to know what is coming down the pipe as we increase population. Population needs services. Are we able to give all these services to all the people that come in? Those that come in, are they able to provide the financial background. For example, the house that I live in, if it was in a different town in this area, it would be worth a lot more money. Well, why? Well, because of the type of town that we have developed is not conducive to bringing in people who are going to support a well-founded town to live in. A town that has infrastructure, a town that has schools, which we do have good schools, a town that has recreation, and a town that people will say, I live in town at all. And that's what you have to start to consider. I read an article someplace that said the number of people living in rental places is almost on par with those owning private residences. What is the break point between the two types of people that you have between rental property and public properties as well as private ownership? Where is that break falling off as to what is the quality of the town going to be when that changes? So I am, of course, in favor of the moratorium for you to have the opportunity to really look and see where are we going. Not in 6 months, but in 10, 15, 20 years. And again, I go back to that planning board meeting I sat in on, and I was so stupid and so naive not to get up and say, what do you mean you don't want this property along the river? Waterfront property. So think long term, not short term. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Back.
Virginia Lipsy, 289 Burt Road. I would support the moratorium just so that the board can really consider different options. And I want to bring to your attention something that happened where I used to live. There was a huge tract of property, and it was wooded and it was beautiful. And a developer wanted to come in and break it into quarter-acre lots and build a subdivision. And there was a lot of opposition, and it was taking a long time for them to, you know, sell this land and bring it back because a lot of people were opposed. Eventually, a developer came to the board and said, how about this? I want to build a multi-unit on this property, and I'll build it at one end, and it'll be the same density as if you had broken this up into 100 or 200 separate properties. Instead, I'll have townhouses, and it'll be down at one end. The rest of the property I'll donate to the town or the county for open space parkland. And it happened, and it was beautiful. Now, I don't know if the town would want to take on this maintenance of more property or the county. Another option would be that the developer coming to do this could make that property community property for the development that he made, and then that would have to be maintained by the homeowners in that subdivision or now multi-unit section, and it would be common charge that they would have to support, and that would be part of their agreement when they bought into that property. And that's just something to think about because the Ag District is great, but people north of 197 also like open space. And I, as the other gentleman mentioned, urban sprawl, we didn't move up here to see that. And, you know, we would like to keep a beautiful area. I'm not against, you know, the kind of people that would be in multi-unit as opposed to, you know, individual houses. It's nothing like that. But I would like to see the area maintained in, you know, beautiful area that it is now. So it's when people do come to propose one of these kind of things, that might be something to think about when you're looking at your future plan. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
That's Greg McCartney at 201 Reservoir Road. I don't know that I'm necessarily for or against it, but I'd like to at least point out a couple things that might help you in your decision. Our town is in an area where we're separated into two areas. We've got the Fort Edward side, and we have the Gansevoort side. The Fort Edward side is inherently a little more impoverished. So everything north or south of the Fort Edward side of the town, it's people have been priced out of apartments. Anything is over $1,000 a month. We have three apartment complexes, four that I can think of offhand, that are right close to here that are much more affordable. So we're actually getting an influx of business renters coming in. The property owners, they're paying taxes on that property. I'm sure they're paying much more than the normal person. So why wouldn't we want to encourage people to come in and rent? But another thing I thought about was, I had saw when the moratorium originally came up that the thought was, let's push these properties out to the industrial section along Route 9. And where my problem with the current moratorium is that section of those areas of Route 9, there's a large section of them down, property down by Exit 17. But as you get closer to South Glens Falls, all that is zoned C1 commercial. But we're approving, there was five houses that I know of right offhand that were built brand new just last year. So that property could have been reserved for multi-unit residential area. So now we have homes sitting in, non-conforming buildings sitting in a C1 zone, instead of allowing that and saving that to be for multi-use residential. But apartments have also done good for us too, because now we have a public sewer plan that's going to be using a sewer system that was brought in by a developer that built multi-unit apartments. So there's good and bad on that. If we put them on Route 9, we take up, sections that could be used for homes, but those are zoned C1. So if we don't, then, we have non-conforming buildings, but if we allow multi-unit development there, that would make more sense. It's fitting with that industrial zone. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, Ms. Martin.
Yes, Bridget Martin from the Village of South Glens Falls, and I'm supporting the moratorium. I think in any good community, you need a balance. And if you think of it as a stool, there should be balance between residential, commercial, and public spaces. And then when I first moved here, there was no place for somebody who, say, graduated college to move back to where they grew up to have a place to live. Now they can come back here and live in an apartment before they maybe buy their first home. They just can't work here. So until we get the jobs to support the people that will be living here, so it doesn't just become a bedroom community for people to go work and shop somewhere else, I support it. Also, we have a lot of already approved apartments that aren't built, that aren't filled, and until we can really get the impact of what's already been improved and that's in the works, I think that we should just hold off and see how that goes. And as far as traffic, if anybody's been in Albany at rush hour, the traffic up here is nothing, and I know that there is a good plan coming to upgrade the traffic pattern with the sewers. So I think maybe the moratorium should hold off until we actually see what the changes that we've already made, that the impact's going to be to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Back row, Mr. Zimmer. And then Mr.
Evening, Board. My name, as many of you know, is Ron Zimmerman. I'm at 327 Gansevoort Road. I've had the privilege of serving the town on the planning board, both as a member and as a chairman, currently since 2002, and I say thanks for that. I have strong support for the moratorium to extend for multifamily dwellings to allow the town board ample time to not only review what's happened with development in the town over many years, but also to look at the potential for future development that we've all been hearing about, both in many areas that have been developed with multifamily as well as others. We developed a comprehensive plan, which was a joint effort between this board, the zoning board, and the planning board, And what it did was also show strong support from especially the Zoning Board and Planning Board. There's many comments that are on record that demonstrate the mutual support by both of those boards, that we feel like we've done our part as it relates to multifamily dwellings in the town. And this comprehensive plan is a lead up to ultimately a rewrite of the code, which is in the process now, as you know. So it's been challenging, to say the least, to serve as a planning board member with the repeated development of the multifamily housing and projects that are in various levels of build-out, especially as it relates to traffic. Right now, we don't have, as one of our community members pointed out, a good pressure relief valve, so to speak, for how we can deal with the ultimate build-out of a lot of these projects as it relates to traffic. And I'm particularly sensitive to the additional add-on effect that we could see, especially along the Route 9 corridor, if we don't take time to bring that into consideration as we look at the future code rewrites. So my humble opinion is take as long as you can with this moratorium. In fact, let it sunset after the code rewrite, because that's really the only thing that's going to give us the next piece of strong data and infrastructure, if you will, to be able to make better decisions as planning board members going forward. There's many best management practices that we've been exposed to, especially through Saratoga County planning and zoning conferences. Clifton Park, Half Moon is one of them, where they've done some really progressive things to try to help those municipalities think about that kind of build-out and make sure that they put measures in place so that developers are allocating funds into future accounts so that when you get to a certain threshold, traffic can be mitigated. So those are the kinds of things, along with sound planning, zoning, that we should be taking into consideration during this moratorium to make sure that when we come out on the backside, we've given not only the board members, planning, zoning, town, but community members a better infrastructure going forward and a better plan so that we can have sound development. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Dennis DeVault, 207 Main Street, Southlands Falls. You have a copy, but if you would allow me to read this, I appreciate it. I support the Borough Town Board for implementing the moratorium on multifamily dwellings. I encourage you to extend it. I feel the Town Board, no disrespect intended, was apparently blindsided by multifamily dwelling development. Perhaps laws to control this type of disorganized chaos were either inadequate or did not exist. I'm not sure about that. I'm kind of new. I ask and encourage the Board to do everything possible to prevent any future construction of multifamily dwellings in the town of Monroe. We have more than enough. We have more than our infrastructure can support. Please, as you're considering this moratorium extension, consider the following. Water. What will happen in the future if we can no longer purchase water from an outside source? School density. In this district, we have one high school, one middle school, four elementary schools. All at or near capacity, where will the students go? More students. Property values to adjacent homeowners. Do we want multifamily dwelling buildings in our backyards? First responders. We increase pressure on them with every new multifamily dwelling. Tax revenue. Consider per capita tax revenue with multifamily dwellings versus single family homes. Green space. I understand the town of Monroe supports the Southern Palmer Town Area Collaboration Agreement. This organization protects trees. Developers clear cut acres to build big block buildings. Traffic congestion, as stated earlier, contributing to heavy traffic congestion at exit 17, Route 9, adjacent roads and streets are the following developments, and this will only continue to get worse. Within the town of Monroe, we have, and I probably missed some, We have Midtown Apartments, Bluebird Village Apartments and Townhouses, Harrison Quarry Townhouses, Harrison Terrace, English Village Apartments. And then within the greater Hudson Falls area, we have the Kingswood Village Apartments, Deer Run Apartments, Springbrook Apartments, the Oaks Townhouses, Water's Edge Senior Apartments, all contributing to the influx of traffic. Our community is already faced with all of these above issues. Immediate adverse impact of more multifamily dwellings will be far-reaching and irreversible. So please, town board members, do your best, and I encourage you to stop multifamily dwellings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Erin Trompley from 126 Lamplighter Acres, Fort Edward resident. I support the moratorium. And primarily the reason is that I don't hear enough planning for people with low income. I've heard the term affordable income, you know, affordable housing used, but that really addresses people at the median income, and about 30% of households in our town, according to the Regional Planning Board, can't afford a rent of $900 a month, which is like the cheapest you can find around here for rent. And of course, for people of that income to buy a house is really very difficult. So people, as we heard when the, this is Medivir, when the farmers insurance grant, a huge number of our children in school don't have adequate supplies because their parents are house poor or rent poor. They're paying, no one wants to be homeless. We don't want them to be homeless. So they're paying whatever the rent is so that they have a place to live, which it comes at a cost of everything else they need to live. So I would just encourage the board during the moratorium to consider additional planning for people with low income. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else like to comment on the record? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Jane McFarland, 55 Hatchery Road. Totally agree with the gentleman earlier on the fact that we had hundreds of multi-unit homes, apartments approved by the town. And now we put the moratorium. The only issue that I have against the moratorium is that it is, everyone is considering that this moratorium is only apartment complexes and such. This moratorium is a duplex that is put on a 5-acre piece of parcel. And that is something that I just think that you've asked for the residents to be patient. And with the first 6 months, now you're asking for another 6 months, but we don't hear what's going on, what works, what is it going to be another 6 months after this? My only issue with moratorium, I do feel that we need to make adequate planning and figuring out roads and in and out and utilities for the town. But I do think the moratorium is overreaching in the fact that it's duplexes as well as multifamily. Everything is grouped together that we're put this moratorium on. It does seem like for a parcel of land, it should be how many units are we doing? Is it going to be three or more on this? Put a moratorium on that so let's figure it out.
Thank you. Anyone else like to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is Walter Whitford. I live at 347 Randall Trone. I'm for this moratorium. I think we have too many apartment houses now, and they're a lot of them are an eyesore. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? I'll ask one more time before we close the public hearing. And would anybody else like to comment on local law number 2 for 2020? Hearing none without objection from the board. I'll close the public hearing.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate you taking the time to come out this evening. And if you want to stay for a third public hearing, you can get a medal tonight. Alrighty, the third and final public hearing for this evening is in relation to the Community Development Block Grant Program. Would the Deputy Clerk please read the notice of the public hearing?
Town of Moreau, Saratoga, New York, public notice. The Town of Moreau will hold a public hearing on February 11, 2020 at 6:55 p.m. at the Town Municipal Building for the purpose of hearing public comments on the Town of Moreau's community development needs and discuss the possible submission of one or more Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, applications for the 2020 program year. The CDBG program is administered by the New York State Office of Community Renewal, OCR, and will make funding available to eligible local governments for the 2020 program year for housing, economic development, public facilities, public infrastructure, and planning activities, with the principal purpose of benefiting low to moderate income persons. The hearing will provide further information about the CDBG program and will allow for citizens' participation in the development of any proposed grant applications and or to provide technical assistance to develop alternative proposals. Comments on the CDBG program or proposed projects will be received at this time. The hearing is being conducted pursuant to Section 570.486, Subpart 1 of the CFR, in compliance with the requirements of the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974 as amended. Assistance under the Community Development Block Grant Program must meet one of three national objectives: benefit to low and moderate income persons, elimination of slums and blight or urgent needs affecting the health and safety of the community. No less than 70% of grant funds must be used for activities benefiting low and moderate income persons, and benefit area must contain at least 51% low and moderate income residents. All interested residents, including minority, women, disabled, and disadvantaged persons, are strongly encouraged to attend this public hearing. Written and verbal comments and questions can be directed to the Town Clerk, Leanne McCabe, at 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York, 12828. Area code 518-792-1030. Please contact the town office if special accommodations are needed for persons with disabilities, those with hearing impairments, or those in need of translation from English. Dated February 1st, 2020, Leanne McCabe, Town Clerk, Town of Moreau.
Thank you very much for that. Before we take public comment, just as a matter of information, the town is required to have this public hearing as part of an application for these funds. And I think last week I had a conference call with the town's engineer, the Bird Group, and I had also talked about this as we worked through securing funding for our sewer infrastructure along Route 9. And the town will be applying for an additional $1 million under this program to help offset some of the costs with the sewer. And this will directly benefit, as it's required to, low and moderate income persons, primarily those in the mobile home park. So moving forward with this application, we'll be able to apply for any and all through the entire year instead of having to come back each time we want to apply and hold another public hearing. So that's the purpose of the public hearing this evening. So with that, I'll open the public hearing for comments from the public. Reminder that you'll have 5 minutes to initially address the board. Please state your name and address for the record, whether you're a town resident or not. After the initial 5 minutes have expired, and everyone else has had an opportunity for initial 5 minutes, we'll come back to you to ensure that all your comments are included in the record this evening. So would anybody like to address the board?
Mike Smith? No. Yeah. He gets a medal.
Hearing none, I will ask one more time. Does any individual like to address the board to be recorded on the record as part of the public hearing? Hearing none and without objection from the board, I will close the public hearing.
So be it.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate you sticking through for three public hearings this evening. And does the board want to take a 1-2 minute break?
Yes, that's what we're
doing. Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for their patience. Now we'll begin the regular town board meeting that is scheduled for 7 p.m. Apologize for the delay. We had a couple of public hearings, well, at least one that went a bit longer than we had planned. So with that, I'll have a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Here.
Councilman Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And ask that everyone please rise for a pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. First item on this evening's agenda is set future meetings and workshops. I don't have a need for any special meetings at this time. We'll move on to item 2 on the agenda. And this item is in relation to a resolution of support for the railroad study. I have met with Saratoga County Economic Development Corporation 2 weeks ago, as well as several members of the Saratoga County Industrial Development Agency, and talked about having the IDA fund a study to look into the feasibility of restoring the railroad line that used to lead into the Moreau Industrial Park, as well as the line that used to lead up to the Essity paper plant in South Plains Falls. The reason for this is that, and you'll hear it in the resolution when it's read, in several meetings that I've had over the past several years, we've had considerable interest in our industrial park, and once we let them know that there is not rail access, we lose about easily 80% of the interest. And we're also moving forward with the possibility of getting tenants in there in the near term. And rail will be very beneficial to their operation for many reasons. So with that, the IDA will consider at their February 18th meeting next week the possibility of funding a study for the town of Moreau. In order to do that, they would like a resolution from the town board indicating that the board favors that before they will consider the request. So with that, I would ask that the deputy town clerk read the resolution.
Requesting passage of S7374.
Oh, that's another resolution.
Oh,
this would be the railroad.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different one. Sorry.
Sorry.
Moreau Railroad Study Resolution. Whereas the town of Moreau would like to determine the potential economic and financial impact that may be derived from restoration of the railroad lines leading to the Moreau Industrial Park and up to the Essity paper manufacturing plant, as well as the impact it would have on the town's job retention and creation opportunities and growth of industry in the Moreau Industrial Park, and how a reinvigorated railroad line might support stability and expansion of existing companies along the line. And whereas the Saratoga County Industrial Development Agency owns the railroads right away into the Moreau Industrial Park and up to Essity paper manufacturing plant, and could be the catalyst for retention of existing jobs as well as for additional job creation. And whereas the Saratoga Economic Development Corporation has potential projects for the Moreau Industrial Park with interest in utilizing the railroad for transportation of raw materials and finished products, thus reducing the significant volume of commercial truck traffic on state, county, and town roads, and thereby reducing the deterioration of roads by removing a significant amount of traffic on such roads. And whereas Saratoga Economic Development Corporation is working to retain jobs at other companies along the railroad route and has surrendered multiple attraction prospects to bordering counties with rail access to industrial zone sites, and now therefore it be resolved that the town board hereby requests that the Saratoga County Industrial Development Agency hires a company as soon as possible with the background and ability to study the economic and financial impacts a revigorization of the railroad line would have in the town of Monroe and Saratoga County. Adopted this 11th day of February, 2020.
Someone like to move that later.
So moved.
Seconded.
Discussion. Under discussion, I would just add that the initial cost of the study was approximately $15,000, and maybe a little bit more than that, not much higher. I won't know until we get updated figures. But the fact that Saratoga County Industrial Development Authority is paying attention to what's happening in Monroe is a very good sign. I'm not aware of any instance, at least in my time on the board, where we have received, town of Monroe has received funding from the IDA. So we're very excited about the prospects of that happening. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 3 on the agenda is some very good news. The town of Monroe, a little while back, applied for funding to the Glens Falls Foundation to assist us with upgrades and repairs to the Sandbar Beach facilities in the village. And I'd like to thank our rec leader, Peter, who applied for the grant and shepherded through the process, which led to our successful award of $9,767. And I'll just read the letter from the foundation. I know that they would very much like to have recognition for their efforts. It says, "Dear Todd, on behalf of the Distribution Committee of the Glens Falls Foundation, I thank you for your recent grant request. The committee carefully reviewed your application in the context of the current funds available, the other grant requests received, and the grant criteria for funding. I'm pleased to report that the committee has approved your grant request of $9,767 for building repairs slash upgrades to the Sandbar Beach facilities. I have enclosed a check for the grant amount awarded, and we wish you every success in this endeavor. The committee would be pleased if you would acknowledge the grant from the Glens Falls Foundation and any future publicity about this project. We also often do some selective publicity on our own, so I may be contacted by the communication team. The committee recently approved a new policy requiring a report from each grant recipient that illustrates the expenditure of the grant funds and any measurable outcomes that the grant helped the organization to achieve. Please send such report to me by May 1st, 2020, so that I can share it at our next committee meeting. Going forward, the committee will take the receipt of the final report into consideration of reviewing all new grant requests. Thank you very much. Sincerely, D. Michael Niles, Business Administrator for the Glens Falls Foundation." So I very much want to thank them on the record, particularly Mr. Niles, for the award. And we're very excited to utilize that funding as we move forward with badly needed repairs to our beach facilities. I believe there's a request before the board this evening to start purchase of some materials to begin that work immediately. So thanks again to the Glens Falls Foundation. Work. And again, credit to the new team we have in place in our recreation department. That's a sizable grant that we were successful in getting, and look forward to more successful applications in the future. And with that good news, I think it's only prudent that we move on to agenda item number 4, which is the permanent appointment of Peter Olszewski as our recreation leader. Peter had been appointed by the board in August of 2019, and which is customary by the town, appointed provisionally for a six-month period, and that six-month period will expire on February 26th of this month. And I would like to wholeheartedly recommend the permanent appointment of Peter Olszewski as recreation leader. And this will involve an increase in pay from his existing $44,000, which he agreed to when we hired him. And in the previous motion, when we did hire, that he would receive an increase of $2,000. So that his compensation, which I would like to be effective February 23rd, 2020, would be increased from $44,000 to $46,000. So I'd ask the board to be supportive and move that resolution.
I'm excited to move that resolution. So I definitely would like to see Peter appointed as a recreation leader permanently. Thank you, Peter, for all you've done so far and all the exciting plans you have in place.
Second?
We have a second?
Yes.
Any discussion?
He's doing a great job. I'm happy to have him on board here. And I think that our parks and rec will move forward at great pace with him at the helm of this.
And I just kind of echo what Councilman Hogan says, too. So for a while there, I think our board members were also part-time rec leaders. And I don't think we all really wanted that job. And since Peter has been our guy on the job, he's done a fantastic job. And everyone that I see in public says, hey, the programs are going great. The communication is wonderful. We know when the rec is open. We know when the rec is closed. And I think it's great. So thank you, Peter, for everything you've been doing so far. Keep up the good work.
If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Motion carries unanimously. I'd like to applaud. Thank you for joining the team. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is transfer station. We continue to try and get the grinder pump up and running down there, which we know we've had an issue with, and we want to get that taken care of. At a previous board meeting, the board had approved employing the services of another vendor, which was out of town. We'd have to pay mileage, and we did not move forward on that because I learned of a vendor that's just across the river, and we have a proposal. I believe each board member has a copy of that proposal, which would be transfer station, pumping station repair. And this was based on a site visit that they made, and they estimate that two individuals should come down and take a look at the work to be done. And once they complete the work, they'll put together a proposal for the town to either fix, if we can, the existing equipment, or to provide a cost for the installation of new equipment for a duplex pump station, but still utilizing the existing concrete wet wall that's in place. And the fee that they have provided to us is one man at $164 per hour for portal, which includes a service truck, and one man at $90.10 per hour. And I believe, that includes their mileage, not a separate cost for mileage. And the previous vendor would have been paying, who had to pay for the mileage coming out of it. I think it was Paul.
It's connected.
But anyway, it's a savings to the town. Our recommendation is that we work with the local vendor on it and ask approval or resolution to engage their services at those rates.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
Oh, that I didn't get a copy of that. But the fact that we're saving money and it's a local vendor, I'm happy with. So I would agree to go with this company. Okay.
Is that a second on?
Yeah.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Any opposed? Motion carried. Unanimous.
Do you need that copy?
No. I'm losing those better than giving the original.
Okay. Thanks. There you go.
Next item is Recreation Department. As I alluded to earlier, we have a request to replace the roof at the beach pavilion. Work would include removing disposal of the old shingle roof and replace it with a new metal roof, which the color indicated here is blue, with 2x4 purlins and new PVC fascia and drip edge. Pete has secured three vendors. The first one is Dave Stewart from Fort Edward at a price of $6,650. The next vendor is Fred Bartlett Enterprises out of South Glens Falls at a price of $7,916. And the third vendor is Rich Home Exteriors out of South Glens Falls at a price of $8,609. And we currently have a balance in account A7310.4, which this would be coming from, of $8,000, so we could authorize the work this evening. His recommendation is to come with Dave Stewart at the rate of $6,650. I would ask that the motion include provisions that are subject to council's review of the contract and the necessary insurance in place.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Unanimous. Next request for the Recreation Department. It's for a new strike dirt Dr. Junior tow behind infield drag and groomer to pulverize compact clay and smooth the surface of the baseball and softball fields. He has secured three quotes as well here, applying for the town's procurement policy. First vendor is MM Distribution LLC out of Kansas. The price is $3,799 with free shipping. The next vendor is Epic Sports, also out of Kansas, the amount of $3,866 with free shipping. And a third vendor, New Stripe, out of Colorado, at a price of $4,723.03 with free shipping. This will be paid from account A7140.4, which has a current balance in it of $28,500. And at budget time, we had budgeted $4,100 for this piece of equipment, and this is under the amount that we had budgeted. So it's Peter's recommendation, and I concur, to go with M&M Distribution LLC out of Kansas at a price of $3,799 with free shipping. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item of request from the Recreation Department is for two new Defibtech Lifeline AED units with adult pediatric pads, high-capacity batteries, a soft carrying case, and wall cabinets.
He would also like to purchase a new high-capacity battery and adult pediatric pads for the current ADD that we have at the recreational park. We have three quotes. First is AED Superstore out of Wisconsin in the amount of $3,402 with free shipping. Peter's indicating that we can save an additional $200 if we order before February 29th. Second vendor is AED.com out of Tennessee, price of $3,788 with free shipping. And the third vendor is Cardiac Life out of East Rochester, New York, for an amount of $3,821 with free shipping. He's recommending that we purchase the equipment from AED Superstores. This money will be paid from account A7140.2, which has a current balance of $28,500. And so his recommendation with the AED Superstore is in the amount of $3,402. And you're saying we could receive less than $200 off of that, or is that the price?
Yes, so we can save $200, so it would be $3,200.
So my recommendation is that the board authorize up to $3,400 for that.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to point out that we did receive back at the end of the year a grant for $2,000 from the Charles R. Wood Foundation.
Yes.
To go towards the purchase of these AED units. So I appreciated the town board budgeting for the full amount, but it's nice to know that a few $1,000 of that will be coming from the grant.
Yeah, and I apologize. That is noted here on your request that we had budgeted $4,950 with $2,000 coming from the CRB Foundation. So that was good.
Thank you for writing that, Peter.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Sure. You need a motion.
Somebody like to move that?
So moved.
Any discussion?
Just one. This is coming out of the recreation department, but one of these cabinets is going to be installed here in town hall. Is that what I gathered out of this?
I don't know what your attention is.
So there is one AED currently here housed in the courtroom. It's not accessible to the public at the moment. I've spoken with the town justices, and they're willing to allow me to take one of the cabinets that we're going to purchase and mount it out here on the exterior wall so that we can house their unit in it, and then it will be accessible to anybody in the building that might need it in the case of an emergency.
Yep.
If we need to allocate money from the buildings, I believe that there's a sufficient amount of money in the town hall contractual line to cover that little bit of cost. I believe the case itself is $125. I should also mention that for a small portion of the year, one of these units will be used at the Sandbar Beach so that we're in compliance with DOA's requirements to operate a swimming facility.
Okay.
I did not ask for that one to be paid for out of the beach contractual line. I guess that would be a question for the account clerk on how that would work. It would be housed at the beach for approximately 3 months out of the year, and then for the other nine, it would be kept here in the supervisor's office.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So when we at audit time, when we pay that, I can have the clerk look into the principal account clerk look into.
Yeah, okay.
So it's credit.
It was my understanding. So based on what I got out of that was that there's a cabinet that's going to come with these new ones, and you're going to use that cabinet here. Okay. Great. The other thing is, are people trained to operate these things, or does it take training?
So the request that was made back in the fall was for both AED units and training. So the remaining money that is in that allotted $49.50, I'm trying to line up some training for both staff in the park and staff here at Town Hall, because you're absolutely right. We should not be attempting to...
Read the instructions in an emergency situation.
What's that?
You shouldn't be reading the instructions during an emergency situation.
We should not be acting beyond our level of training. So New York's Good Samaritan law will protect you so far, but you're supposed to act within your level of training.
Okay.
Several members of staff here, including myself, have had first aid CPR AED, but not everyone. So I will be coming to the board again in the short term with once I have some numbers for training to make sure that we can use this new equipment.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Yeah, I don't know if you would have gotten appointed permanently tonight if we knew you were spending this amount of money on your budget. Next item I have for the Recreation Department is a request for a Toro Z-Master 7000 Series zero-turn mower with 72-inch turbo force deck, motor diesel engine, and DPS collection bag system. And an easy back lower kit for the 72-inch deck. This is a state contract price. The vendor that we would utilize is Green Management out of Glens Falls.
It's not that one.
Out of Glens Falls, which has a state contract price that they will deliver to us for free. $17,357.76. This would be purchased, or it would be billed against account A7140.2. The balance in account and date.
Thank you.
The balance that's not mine. Oh, it's supposed to be computer. I think that's the problem. Usually a cell phone. The balance in account date as of January 1 of this year is $28,500, and this was a budgeted item. The amount budgeted for that purchase was $17,200, so this is actually $157.76 over that what we had budgeted for it. My recommendation would be to move forward with the purchase. Since we discussed it at budget time, we budgeted for it, and we've already recognized enough savings this evening to cover the increase in cost. Second.
Who made the motion? Sorry.
Gina.
Gina.
Got that?
Yep. Second.
Yes.
Okay. There it is.
Any discussion?
Looks like it's on the track.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Also on under recreation, I had received a letter not only at Town Hall but my home residence from Kloss Equipment signed by Mr. Edward Kloss, and I'll read it to you. It's very brief, looking for assistance from the town. It's in relation to the Griswold Cemetery on Route 9. Town board had previously been approached by the rec leader to replace the stockade fence that had rotted and fallen down. And the town board approved putting a split rail fence in there instead of the stockade fencing to save money, and thought it looked nicer after Pete ran into Mr. Kloss down there and let him know what the town had planned to do. I received this letter, and so I shall read it to you. It says, Dear Mr. Kuzniers, Under Supervisor Mike Sullivan, the Recreation Department used the Mount McGregor inmates to cut brush and trees in the cemetery to the north of my property. The inmates cut down the hedge row that acted as a privacy fence on my property. Mike agreed to put up a privacy fence to replace the hedge row, which was cut down. Please honor this agreement and replace the privacy fence with a privacy fence and not a split rail fence. Thank you, Edward Claus. My office, as well as the clerk's office, reviewed the minutes going back to the tenure of Mr. Sullivan. There's no record of such an agreement. I do know things were done a little differently back then, but I thought it would be a good compromise because we can use the split rail fence elsewhere in the park.
Mm-hmm.
If Mr. Kloss would be willing to split half the cost of the fence and the town to do the installation. Peter went and had a conversation with Mr. Kloss. He agreed to it. And so what he has done is make a donation to the town recreational account in the amount of half the amount. So with that information, we have before us this evening a request from our rec leader to purchase 25 sections of 6x8 pressure-treated wooden stockade privacy fence panels, 26 4x4 posts and screws to replace the old Griswold Cemetery fence on Route 9. We have three vendor prices. The first is Home Depot, which is based out of Georgia, $1,314.44. Lowe's, which is based out of North Carolina, $1,246.35. And a third vendor, Curtis Lumber, out of Queensbury, the Queensbury store, they're based out of Boston Spa, the amount of $1,526.88. And this would be paid from account 8810.4. The balance in that account is $1,500. We did not budget monies for that purpose. It's Peter's recommendation that we purchase the treated fence panels, post screws from Lowe's, and he indicates, as I have already in the record, that the owner of Kloss Equipment Trailer Sales has agreed to donate 50% of the cost of the fence if the town recreation staff will install, which they will. So if somebody would like to move that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So you will let Mr. Kloss know that the town board approved that request officially?
I will let him know. He asked me to provide him just a signed, a receipt from the clerk's office. We have the check again. I'll ask them to process that.
Okay. Perfect. And continuing on the theme of beefing up the recreation department, we have an additional request from our newly appointed full-time rec leader. He has I believe, a letter to board members, which you should have a copy of. He indicates, as we do each winter, he requested turf management quote for Vitar Park from three local vendors, including turf management company Grasshopper Gardens Incorporated and Bookflack Nursery LLC. The lowest quote received was for $9,650 from Grasshopper Gardens. This only includes three fertilizer applications in the spring and does not include an estimate on the cost of overseeding. It's Pete's recommendation that the town utilize turf management company as the town did in 2019. Their quote, which includes five separate applications spread out over 6 months growing season, remained the same as it was last year at $10,390.38, with an estimate of 3 cents for, what was that, 3 cents per, what's the 3 cents?
Square foot.
Per square foot for overseeding. The total class quote was higher at $17,578 with an overseeding estimate of 10 cents per square foot. He asked that with the board's approval, he can contact Turf Management Company for 2020 and open a purchase order in the amount of $11,000 The amount would cover the cost of the turf care program as well as approximately 20,000 square feet of overseeding if necessary. Although their cost may be slightly higher than other vendors, the service and professionalism provided by a turf management company was excellent in 2019, and the field conditions received many compliments from the athletic organizations that you. This was signed by Bill Chesky. So the three prices again, for the record, he's received is from Turf Management at Glens Falls, the amount of $10,390.38 plus 3 cents per square foot for overseeding. Second quote was Grasshopper Gardens out of Gansford for a price of $9,642. It did not provide a price for overseeding. And Foot Flax Nursery, the amount of $17,578 plus 10 cents per square foot for overseeding. This money would be paid from account A7140.4. Current balance is $83,000 in there, and we have budgeted for the 2020 fiscal year $14,000 for this purpose. Again, FEA's recommending the use of turf management at the rate of $10,290.38 plus 3 cents per square foot for overseeding.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion?
I'm just happy that we're going to be using the same company that we used last year. I also received some positive comments from folks, particularly on some of those fields down where they do soccer in the fall. The grass seemed to be a little bit thicker this fall. And I know some of our other groups that use that field, the South Glens Falls Youth Lacrosse, they appreciated the better turf down there, so I think it was a money well spent last year, and these are things that we get to maintain and continue, so I'm happy to do that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries unanimous. And I don't say anything else, but I will ask, do you have anything else for us this evening?
No, sir.
Good.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is a resolution regarding the Moreau speed limit legislation that has been introduced in the state legislature. Prior to putting this resolution together, I have met with Senator Jordan's office and Assembly Werner's office, actually both of them personally, regarding the possibility of introducing legislation that would allow the town of Moreau at our discretion to set speed limits on certain town roads. As the town board is keenly aware of, especially those that have been on the board for a while, and I think council member Donahue may have already experienced this. It's not uncommon when we make a request on behalf of a resident that we are turned down from the New York State Department of Transportation. This legislation, if adopted by the legislature and signed into law by the governor, would allow us the authority within certain parameters to set our own speed limits on town roads and streets. So this legislation is currently, the Senate bill is in the Senate Local Government Committee. The Assembly, same as bill, is in the Transportation Committee in the Assembly, awaiting committee action. Before this measure can be taken up by either House of the Legislature, because New York State is a home rule state, requires home rule from the local municipality. So that is the purpose of the resolution. So if the deputy clerk would be so kind to read the resolution.
The right one this time. Requesting passage of S7374, Jordan A.9124 Warner, empowering the Moreau Town Board with the discretion to set speed limits on certain town roads. Whereas the town of Moreau faces unique challenges regarding traffic safety, and accordingly, would like to have the ability to control speed limits on town roads, streets, and highways, and the town has received multiple requests over the years from residents seeking appropriate reductions in speed limits in or near their neighborhoods that were denied approval by the New York State Department of Transportation. And whereas the town supervisor has reached out to Senator Jordan and Assemblymember Warner to request sponsorship and introduction of home rule legislation permitting the town of Moreau to determine the speed limits on town roads, streets, and highways. And whereas legislation that provides the relief sought by the town was introduced by Senator Jordan, S.7374, and Assemblymember Warner, A.9124, during the 2020 regular session entitled An Act Relating to Giving the Moreau Town Board the Discretion to Change Speed Limits, a copy of which is annexed hereto and incorporated herein by reference. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town Board of the Town of Moreau states its unanimous support for S.7374/A19124, introducing during the 2020 regular session of legislature, and requests and urges its passage. And it is further resolved that the town supervisor is authorized and directed to take all steps necessary to support the said proposed legislation, S.7374/A.9124, including but not limited to execution and delivery of a home rule request. And it's on file in the town clerk's office.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes, I would like to thank you very much for taking care of this. This is something that has been on board 12 years, and how many, it's countless number of times that people have come to the board and asked for us to try to help the speed limits on their streets. And it seems like their ideas are great ideas, but the state's always shut them down. You've taken and made this under control as people who live in this community. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And again, I think it's great if it comes our way. I've been approached by quite a few folks that say, can we get the speed limit lower down our road? It's, you know, it's going too fast. And I talk to Paul, people go too fast. And I talk to Paul and he says, the sheriff has to do enforcement. Because that's really all we've been able to tell some of our residents. So if this works out for us, I think it would be great to take some more control of this for our community. So great job. Thank you.
I would just add, appreciate the kind words. It is an uphill battle, but the first step is getting the legislation introduced, which we have done, and then getting it on the committee agenda and then the calendar report. None of that can happen without the home rule. And so with the town board's authority after adoption, we'll be able to start that process. And we'll cross it.
Thank you very much.
So would somebody like to talk? We've already had a motion and second on that.
Yes.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is Recreation Department requests. I met with our engineer involved in HVAC at the new highway garage.
You said Recreation Department?
I'm sorry, Highway Department.
You're good for more.
You know, I can't get away from it. So,
Highway Department.
To recap, I met with Professional Engineering PLLC, which is our engineer who's handling the HVAC work at the new highway garage regarding our upgrades, which we want to get done before we tackle the repair, actually replacement of the roof down there. I had that meeting with Highway Superintendent Paul, as well as the team members that will be doing the work on the 5th. And they hope to begin that work within the next couple of weeks. And we also talked about the start date of approximately April 1st for the roof repair. But we have to take and get our HVAC system where we need it. One of the issues that came up during that meeting, actually prior to that meeting, but we did discuss it at the meeting, was that the project had originally been spec'd for aluminum heat exchangers. And as everyone knows, in that kind of environment with moisture and salt coming in, they won't last very long. So there was a recommendation by everyone around the table that the town entertain the idea of a change order to go to stainless steel. And I had indicated that the board would be receptive if it was budget neutral. And they said they would sharpen their pencils. We were initially looking at a cost increase of, it was $5,500, in that neighborhood. And while we did not make it budget neutral, they were able to reduce the cost of that upgrade. From $5,159 to $2,279. And they're able to do that by, we had spec that the gas piping be painted, except in the, to be painted, and if we take out painting of that, except in the wash bay, they could still do the labeling on that pipe. We could cut the cost by $2,100. And if we eliminated the radiant panel cover work, we could reduce it by another $780. So I am looking for the board's thoughts on that change order. Again, it would be an increase in the cost of the project by $2,279. But we're getting essentially $5,159 in upgrades. If we don't do it, we're just going to be replacing it down the road. And quite frankly, I don't want to replace anything else on that building.
I would support the upgrades and the change order. We've been relatively critical of poor decisions in the past, so I think we need to do the right thing and make the right choice at this time.
So this would be, well, I only have the change order for the initial cost. Did you get something other than that?
No, I did not. What would it be for the five meters? 5 meters.
All right, I guess I would be seeking authorization from the town board to approve the change order presented to us by R&B Mechanical. Does the board have a copy of all those changes?
Yeah.
So essentially, one, two. We've got 8 items listed.
Let's see.
With
this one.
So I would be looking for a resolution to authorize a change order as presented by R&B Mechanical in an amount not to exceed $2,279.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Yeah, any discussion? Under discussion, I would just like to read the description of the change order. There'll be change order number one on this particular project. Per the engineer's request, they provide change order cost to upgrade garage unit heaters GUH-1 from standard steel and aluminum burner construction to stainless steel unit like the GUH-2 model. A quantity of 5 of these heaters are specified for the garage area. So that's what we'll be getting with the change. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Well, I might be a little slow in getting to it, but the painting of the piping is irrelevant as far as you're concerned.
That was irrelevant to us. That's what the engineer was suggesting.
Okay, and I'm assuming that they're like
they're
probably
still
putting
in the
gas line sticker type thing. Okay, and something about radiant manifold access covers.
Yeah, I talked to the engineer about that, and he said it was essentially a waste of money.
What is that? Just a cover over the...
There's five covers, there's five different radiant floor manifolds, and what they're talking about doing is taking the covers off, making a door on them, putting the covers back in. So if you ever had to adjust them, just take them open the door. But they're only held on by cement screws. So either the engineer says you just zip them out, you can get in there easy enough.
So there really is no need to do that. Great. Okay.
And he indicated that in his experience has been they haven't had to go in for maintenance on in that particular area.
Yep.
So I was taking him to the place.
Okay. I'm good with it then.
Any other discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimous. The highway superintendent's going to have to do the rec leader and Kaufman purchases tonight. Next request we have is for a 2020 single axle dump truck with front end wing plows. And I'm piggyback a Onondaga County blanket price agreement, which I believe is that state contract number 8996?
Yes.
Okay. And we have three quotes. One's from Tracy Road Equipment in Albany for a freight liner in the amount of $2,009.55. Next, I'm sorry, $209. If he can get it for $209. Next, it also was from Tracy Road Equipment, which would be for a Western Star for $211,714. And then the third price is from Mohawk Valley Freightliner out of Yorkville, New York. And that is for an amount of $209,096. This will be paid from account DB5130.2. Has a current balance to date of $257,003. And Paul is asking for approval to make this purchase this evening because it was about an 8 to 10 month delivery time on that. And this was something that we budgeted for at budget time, and we have budgeted $210,450, so we're a little bit under budget.
Great. So moved.
That's correct.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I told her aye.
Motion carries unanimous. See, looks like you didn't ask for them. Was that it under Iowa?
That was all I had under Iowa.
Next item on the agenda is the Town Hall IT server. As the Town Board is aware, we're borrowing the server right now. We had planned as part of our IT upgrade to purchase a new server. And we have a proposal here from we have three proposals here. This would be for a PowerEdge R440 server with 32 gigabyte RDI MM, 2666 MT / S, dual bank, and a 480 gigabyte SSD SATA. Installation not included. We have three prices. First one is from CDWG LLC out of Vernon Hills, Illinois, for $5,523.87. The next vendor is StoreTech out of Queensbury for $5,222.26. And the third vendor from Dell Incorporated out of Texas, in the amount of $5,454.07. This amount will be paid from account A1620.401. It has a current balance of $42,160.35.
And again, this is something we have planned for that budget time.
Motion to approve. That's the sort of tech that was a little...
So, I'm sorry. Yeah, so the recommendation is to go with Store Tech, which is the lowest quote for $5,222.26.
Seconded.
Maybe first and second.
Yep.
Any discussion?
I'm pleased to go with Store Tech. You know, they were a huge help to us this winter over the holiday break there. And I'm happy that their quote came in where it came in so we can give you more business.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a plug and play unit.
Just guy.
Kidding.
All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Any opposed? Any other motion carries? Well, actually, we did have one other under highway. We'll come back to that. Next item on the agenda is the cable franchise agreement. Basically, I just want to report to the board that I had a meeting last week. We had council included in the meeting by telecommunications where we discussed the expired cable franchise agreement here in the town of Monroe. I'm not sure if the board's aware, but we haven't had a current cable TV franchise agreement.
1996? No, it went out in 2006.
2006. All right. Oh, that's right. It was signed in 96, right. And it was a 20-year agreement?
10-year.
10-year agreement, yeah. Keep me away from the numbers. And in that agreement that was last adopted, there was language in there regarding build-out, and it was 20 homes per buildable mile before they would install infrastructure at their cost. Typically, nowadays, if you look at the Public Service Commission's website, you'll see the standard build-out figure is 35 homes per buildable mile. And I impressed upon the representative that in some parts of our town, particularly the Ag District, through zoning, you will never get the number of homes that would be required to for them to do build-out at their cost. If you had the figure in there at 35 homes per buildable mile, and he graciously agreed to keep the term at 20 homes per mile, and he was going to be reviewing where we don't have cable access in the town. It's a very limited area, but they will be reporting back. Maybe we'll have some opportunities for further discussion where we can get that built out and how to accomplish that. But, you know, at least we're meeting with them. It was a very good meeting, and I just expect to hear back from them shortly.
That's great. People have been asked. They asked a lot some time ago, and then I think they just kind of gave up. We'd like to work from home when we can't, and I think that's great. Thank you for working together.
Well, thank you, yeah. And, you know, over the past decade or so, you know, there's more and more residents that are doing work from their home. I mean, now with education, every child has a laptop. Mm-hmm. And I can attest personally to some folks down in the Ag District that they don't have access. High speed and then easily. So it's really a necessity in this day and age. So and I think we can do to get that service as a bonus. Going back to highway, I did have one other item and it's in relation to the situation on Old West Road. I have been down there several times to meet with residents. I've been down there at least twice with Paul, most recently last week, regarding the safety issue on Airplane Turn. And I spoke with the property owner, and his significant other, and we talked about, you know, some of the things the town could do. One of them was to do partial guardrails in that area. The problem for the town is that there's not enough right-of-way. If the town were to install those guardrails for our snowplow trucks to make the passes through there without crossing into the other lane, obviously a situation the town does not want to be in from a liability standpoint. So we met with the property owner and asked them if they would be willing to issue a right-of-way to the town so that we could move those, the proposal to put the partial guardrails in there, in that area. That was not something that they were willing to entertain. They actually said they do not want guardrails at all. So we continued to chat, and one of the possibilities that we came up with was the possibility of placing folders on the property of the homeowner. The town would do that with our equipment and manpower, and that is something that they're very much interested in. I think it's a viable solution. One of the things that the town, you know, I talked with council about this, and strongly recommended that the town execute a indemnification hold harmless agreement with the property owner, because the town will be the ones placing those boulders on private property. The homeowner has agreed to that, and so I guess I'm looking for authorization from the town board to execute the hold harmless agreement. And should that be read in the record? Or
no, it's just
all right. So basically, it's an indemnification hold harmless agreement for the property located at 325 Old West Road, which would be executed by the property owner, Matthew J. Call, C-A-U-L. If the town board is amenable to that.
Thanks, Foster.
I can add, she's very excited about it. Let flower, everything around the place.
I would be.
And I did talk with her.
Just thank you for going out there and trying to come up with a solution that works for the public.
So it's a very challenging location because you've got three private properties and a Saratoga County right of way for the water line. There's no perfect solution, but her greatest concern is the safety of her children. And so this is something that works for them, you know, something the town can do. I think anytime we can acquiesce to the wishes of the residents and solve a problem, we should move forward. So do you need a resolution on that? Or
no, just the right motion.
A motion.
You asked for a motion to have you sign it.
So moved.
Second.
Any additional discussion?
I just got one thing. You know, I think it's great because it's something they deliver. You know, my concern in the beginning was their safety. You know, and of course, our liability is sort of secondary. But I'm glad that the solution there, and that they're happy with it. I don't want to see any more cars in the front lawn. So I'm happy to.
Any other discussion?
Thank you. Thank you for reaching out to the property owners.
Well, it's, you know, it's not a perfect solution, but I think that it works for the property owner, and the town can do it easily. So
yes.
Any other discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimous. That's it.
I thought you were going to bring it up.
No, I meant to have it on the highway. I just filed it in. Next item I have is we have a voucher from Council Member Donahue seeking training reimbursement. This was for the newly elected officials' training conference. It is the conference fee for the duration was $200 and mileage is $141 for a total of $341.80, and we'll need town board approval to authorize payment for that.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just want to say it was a great, great training session. It was put on by the New York State Association of Towns along with the New York State Controller's Office. And it was good because it was a lot of basics that I really needed here at that one. There were a lot of stuff that pertained to me, but there was stuff about supervisors, the responsibilities, and they covered a whole lot of stuff in 3 days. And it was very worthwhile. But I'm looking to do more training on that and try to get caught up here. But I thank you for having me do that.
Yeah, it's definitely well worth it for even board members who are not newly elected to get on with something like that. So, do we have a motion on that? Second? All
yep.
In favor? Do we have a second?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is supervisor items. I just want to report to the board that I will be attending being part of a presentation at the Association of Towns on Monday in New York City, where our engineer will be, actually the vice president of LaBert, will be discussing, doing a presentation along with myself entitled Build It and They Will Come. Part two, Chicken and the Egg, does economic development lead infrastructure development or vice versa? And they will be using the town of Moreau as their case study, if you will, and very much want the town to participate in that, and I agree to do so. So I'll be down there for that on Monday. I hope not.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
Right. No, thanks.
I can take that.
Okay, so. The next item I have on the supervisor of items. And I don't know if the board members have a copy of this. This is the ban on plastic bags for the state of the
No, I don't have a copy.
It says New York State's Plastic Bag Ban Act is part of the fiscal year 2019-20 state budget to take effect on March 1st. And NYSEC has compiled answers to the following commonly asked questions. I'll make sure that the board members have a copy of that. Put them together by the New York State Association. I did receive correspondence from National Grid on February 6th regarding work that's going to be occurring. They're calling it the Spire Falls Water Dam Project. Construction is scheduled to begin next week, which would be this week. Adjacent landowners have been notified and informed about the work, and I have a copy of the fact sheet, which I'm not going to go into, but it's available in my office if anybody would like to take a look at that. The next item I have is that our assessor will be conducting interviews. We have four applicants for the Board of Assessment Review. I've asked her, or often an email around, asking if any board members want to sit in on those interviews. Obviously, you can't have more than two board members as part of those interviews, but she will be interviewing them, and we should have a recommendation for... We only have one for two, because we've expanded to five members. We've already got three on the board, so two of the four will be looking to appoint in the near future.
I don't think we've ever had a time where we've had that much interest in them.
No, not, they're actually very good candidates. They have a good background. I just want to report at the county level that my capacity as supervisor, I've been appointed to as a board member of the Saratoga County Prosperity Partnership. I've also been appointed as a board member of the Saratoga County Water Authority. I'm also appointed as a member of the Unity Committee, which is a umbrella organization with representatives from both SCDC, Saratoga Economic Development Council, and the Prosperity Partnership, working together cohesively to get economic development at the county under one umbrella. And we've made great strides. This is my second year on the Unity Committee. I'm also a member of the Veterans Committee, and I've been named a member of the Law and Finance Committee and the Racing and Wagering Committee, which keeps me busy. And so we had our first Veterans Committee meeting yesterday. I have a copy of the annual report that counties required to provide to the state. And I just want to highlight a couple items in that report that are very telling. The population, the veteran population in Saratoga County is 17,508, which ranks Saratoga County as the 12th largest in the state for veterans. We're more than Albany County, which is 15,400, Rensselaer County, 9,800, Warren County is 5,500, and Washington County is 4,800. So a lot of residents reside in Saratoga County. One of the things I would like to do, I'd like to periodically recognize, start a program where we recognize a living veteran here in the town of Monroe, and we provide that the county has veteran coins that represent the families of deceased veterans. We do, each town recognizes a deceased veteran monthly at the county. And so every year and a half, kind of the role would be part of the ceremony. I think it would be also, you know, with these numbers, very important. I think it would be appreciated if we did something here at the town level. So I'd like to do something at least several times through the year where we recognize a living veteran.
I love that idea. When I talk about it, I thought that's great. It's nice for them to be able to receive the honor.
Right. If we're on the topic, if I can bring it up, with vets and recognition, I was approached by a community member some time back about doing in the town of Monroe what they do over in Hudson Falls with the veterans on the flag. Have you seen that before? On the power poles, there's banners, a photo of a serviceman in when they were in the service, and this person said they... No funding is kind of already set, and it's an outside group that does it. How would this person go about doing it here in the town of Morocco? So I don't know what we need to do to follow up with that, but there's interest to do that in our streets as well to recognize vets that might go right along nicely with what you want to do.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea.
They look great. It's really nice.
I think that's all I have for committee reports. Next item on the agenda, I'm sorry, for supervisor item. Next item on the agenda is committee reports. I'm not really.
If we don't have a committee on it, I don't think we can fit it under something. As you guys, folks on the board know, a while back we talked about our logo here in town Morale that needs serious revamping, almost like a rebranding, if you will, of the town of Monroe with a better, cleaner, nicer, more up-to-date logo. Thought I would take that on as something, as a project, and it turned out to be a little more difficult than expected. But what I've realized lately that the best way to go about that project is to engage the services of a company, a design team that would take our ideas and create logos, multiple logos for us. And it's something that, you know, I briefly looked into, but I don't want to go too far before we brought it to the board level. Coming up around with some of the services, you know, somewhere anywhere between $300 and $500 for what the amount of work that would go into it, something that we would then own. It would be marketed for us, or not marketed, I don't want to use the word marketing, but it would be our logo, we would own it, we would have the rights to it, we would be able to use it and reprint it and, you know, brand ourselves, if you will, that way. So I don't know what the steps are to go forward with approval to look into this.
You know, it's not a lot of money. I think we have, I have to double check when we have funding on the promotion, celebration. I can't remember if we funded it this year or not. We can look there. But certainly we can find that money for that. So if you have that proposal, I think, did you send me that to you or something?
I can get more information and send it.
Yeah, I'll share it with the board and have a recommendation on how to pay for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I just think it's, at this point, we need to enlist the professional service to do this. I think, you know, there have been some thoughts in the past, have the school kids do it. Well, let me tell you, the teachers don't want to take that on either. You know, I mean, there's a lot of work that goes on in schools, and the last thing they want to do is throw a logo on, and we don't ultimately don't really want a logo that, we want something more professional, we'll leave it at that. So. All right, great.
Great. Thank you.
The committee.
Highway committee. John and I are going to meet with the representative of the Adirondack Funds Fellows Transportation Council on Thursday morning to address some, I brought up some issues with one of the town roads, and I just wanted to see if they can help us with some direction there after a while. The state deals with, on the state level and federal level, any type of transportation. And if I get some ideas from him, it's where we stand on how we can control and not control our roads. So, John and I will meet with him, like I said, Thursday morning, 10 o'clock. I will work back to the next meeting as to what we, what were they were able to tell us. Another thing is a transfer station. Teddy Montessori asked me if I could just throw this out there about the possibility of having a hazardous waste section of our recycling operation over there. He said, obviously, you probably have to go to the county. I have no idea, just throwing it out there. They're able to stop people sometimes from having to catch them throwing in paint thinners and all kinds of other stuff. Do you think that if we had something there for this hazardous waste type material that it would avoid that kind of stuff getting into the stream. So I don't know where we go with it or what we do with it, but I'm just throwing it out there. So there's a possibility. I guess that I didn't realize this, but I guess the county takes care of this recycling part of it. Basically, we run it, but they operate it or something.
So it used to be it was a county employee that manned the recycling, and the county didn't want to pay the employee to be there, so they paid the towns to man it, and they were doing that up until last year, and then they tried, after our budget was all done, they tried to eliminate it, and then a group of supervisors, including myself, squawked a little bit, and we got the money back from the budget, and this year we're going to continue to fund it. The hazardous waste, so the county provides money for towns to do hazardous waste pickup day. I believe it's in this year's budget. They usually pick two or three towns, and I think they rotate them around the county so that any county resident can participate in it. Just go to one that's the closest. I think we've had, years ago, we had one here.
people.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know where the row is in the lineup. Well, I can find out. But the county does that, so the town's on the pay for it.
Okay. You can check out the other 10 numbers, let me know.
And regarding the Adirondack Greater Grand Falls Regional Transit, I'm on the board as a policy member. I would be, we have a pre-op meeting tomorrow. If you want to, I think it's at 10 o'clock, you know, whatever concerns that you have, if you want to get them to me, I can bring them up at that meeting, or you can wait and just meet with a representative. I'm policy board and the governing board where they make the decisions on funding, policy, things like that. But totally.
I want to be there.
That's fine. He's got very knowledgeable. He can give you the rundown. He's involved in the traffic study that was done out in 2014. So he can give you the any other committee reports?
No.
If not, we'll move to privilege of the floor. Would anyone like to address the floor? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Dominic Thomas, Cedar Lane. I'm disappointed to stand here again to highlight the inaction regarding the burned-out home on Reservoir Road after raising the issue in summer 2019. A property owner near the eyesore in fall 2019 also asked that something be done, was assured it was being handled. Unfortunately, this is not the only decrepit property in town that is allowed to remain standing, or should I say crumbling, before our very eyes, with nary a public response from the majority of this board and the 2019 board. The various properties I see in distressed condition in the row are affecting surrounding property values and are a detriment in trying to attract new homeowners and businesses here. At this point, it doesn't matter what reasons are given later in defense of the overall lack of enforcement and action surrounding such properties. There are no valid excuses. In the Reservoir Road instance, I strongly recommend the structure be declared a public safety and health hazard and emergency, that the town pay a demolition contractor to level the building all the way all degree and restore the lot for construction purposes. All of these costs, plus code enforcement fees and court fines, must be paid by the property owner or added to the tax bill. If the taxes and demolition fees are not paid within the statutory deadline, then Moreau should take ownership of the property and sell it to an individual or a home builder who would construct a new home there. Start the legal process now. Municipal governments near and far have taken up this fight against so-called zombie houses and rotting structures. So consult with their leaders on the legalities of such action, or obtain advice on how to proceed from pertinent state agencies and or the Association of Towns and or our local state representatives. The city of Schenectady even got a $10 million low or no interest loan from a federal agency that pays for its ongoing demolition of problem properties there. In turn, the properties are used for many purposes: pocket parks, sold to contractors for new homes or commercial use, community gardens, given to the land bank or Habitat for Humanity, and so on. The revenue from the final transactions is reportedly used to pay back the loan. It's long past time to do something. Thank you.
Anybody else like to address the board? If not, does the board member have anything?
Yeah, I just got it. I know we're running late, but I keep this going. I'm listening to the audio of the last meeting, and there was a point in there that got very confusing. I know Todd and I were like expressing our opinions back and forth and talking over each other and stuff. And for myself, I'd like to apologize. That was very confusing. We kind of listened to that on the audio. And I just want to share the board and the people out here that, from here forward, if someone else is speaking, I will read my statement. And I apologize for the audio. But when I listened to the audio, there was a comment that was made that set me back a little bit. The only reason I'm bringing it out in public is because the statement was made in public. I was accused of having a political agenda and a grandstand. I just want to make it clear. as I'm concerned, the political part of this job that I'm doing ended when it caused the last battle. Then it became my job to represent my constituents in this town. As far as grandstanding, it's listening to people in the town, bringing their concerns into this public meeting and trying to get things resolved, trying to get some answers, trying to get some opinions, is grandstanding, and I'm guilty as charged. But I will be bringing stuff in here. People won't agree with me. I won't always agree with that. But we can respectfully agree to disagree. And I hope that's what we can do from here on in, without any personal attacks. I just don't think they're necessary. Thank you very much.
Thank you for those comments, and I feel compelled to respond to the comment about political agenda. You, Mr. Donahue, stated on the record that you were speaking on behalf of Mr. Tom for the exemption on real property, exemption for those that have disabilities at the January 14th meeting. And, you know, that comment was based on the fact that Mr. Tom provided $100 to your campaign on October 3rd, 2019. Mr. Tom, Mr. Tom resides at 7 Cedars Lane. And we do things on this board on the best interest of our residents, but it requires a consensus. And, you know, you have to make sure, I make sure that when we bring issues before the board members are aware of them, we have an idea of what direction we want to go to, and the interest of being efficient and doing the people's business. So that was the purpose for my. Any other?
I've got one response to that. Now, whether somebody contributes to my campaign or doesn't contribute to my campaign, they are a member of this community, or a taxpayer in the town world, and if they bring something to me, I'm not going to say to somebody, you didn't give me my campaign, so guess what? I'm not bringing it forward. I mean, that's just absurd to make that comment. Everyone, every resident of this town, any resident of this town comes to me with an issue that I think should be brought up at a meeting, discussed, and a solution, maybe for their issue, maybe not. We might be able to tell them something we can do. If someone wants me to bring something up, I feel it's my job. It's what I got elected to do.
No, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. But this board, prior to your arrival, has worked very hard to be transparent, have the utmost integrity, restored decorum to the operations of the town board, and you know, quite honestly, that level of integrity, you know, I'm just presenting the information that's available to the public out there, that reeks of a quid pro quo, and I don't think that this board would ever, the previous board and the majority of this board, thinks that's how town business should be. Any other comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I like to say
wow. Entertain a motion to adjourn. Oh, do you have comments?
Well, no, not on this. I'd like to end this. But could we move into executive session for discussing an issue of an employee?
Sure. I didn't like it.
Oh, I
didn't
know
everybody
texted. I wondered. I didn't
know. Oh,
no,
you did. I will entertain a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of discussing an unnamed town employee work performance.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries in executive session.
Thank you. Executive session. I make a motion that we exit executive session.
So moved.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.